My dear parishioners, we need the Holy Ghost. We celebrate His coming every Pentecost. We call it the birthday of the church. It's that important. And why do we need the Holy Ghost so much, whom we tend to forget, unfortunately? We need Him for the same reason that the apostles needed the Holy Ghost. Remember that after 3 years of being with our Lord and getting all that instruction from Him, and we know He's God, He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but when Jesus ascends into heaven and leaves them, it's as though they still can't do it, and indeed they can't. They're still weak. They're still fearful. They go into a deep prayer for 9 days in union with Our Lady, as the scriptures tell us. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon them like a mighty wind on Pentecost Sunday, He transforms them. He takes away their fear, their weakness, and they go forth to set the world on fire. They are now more than willing to pay whatever price insofar as suffering or challenge is concerned. They're not afraid of it anymore. I'd like to recollect for you a sermon from earlier this year. I think it was before Lent. I talked about the three stages of the spiritual life. And we see the apostles going through these three stages, and it's a model for us as well. We need to grow spiritually, and we need to go through these three stages as well. We shouldn't stop growing, in other words. The first step, as you may recall, was when the apostles made that conscious decision to follow Christ. They made big sacrifices. They left all to follow Him. And that is a reminder for us that the first real step of the spiritual life is when we make that conscious decision to follow Christ. I will go to the ends of the world for Jesus Christ. He is my Lord, my Redeemer, my all. Now, in the first stage, we have a lot of growing to do, and so God helps us along by giving us a lot of good feeling and consolation. And we see it in the apostles. They felt really good often enough when they were with Christ. And when He was working miracles and people were going, flocking to Him in droves, then, it felt like the kingdom was at hand. We're going to triumph. But they needed to grow beyond that. And ironically, they made their second step. They made their entrance into the second state or the second stage of the spiritual life when they failed Jesus in His passion and death. It burst a bubble, you might say, that had to be burst. And they realized that following Jesus wasn't just doing it in the good times. They needed to do it in the bad times, when the cross is heavy, when the difficulties are there, not to give up what they were doing before. That's the goodness of God, that even in their failure, the apostles learned their lesson. They advanced. Although it wasn't the best way. They did advance to that second stage. And of course, my dear brethren, that's the same for us in the spiritual life. We have to be ready to follow Christ, not just in the good times, but in the bad times. When the cross weighs upon us, when the challenges seem to mount. And if we keep following Christ, we are growing in a strength that we did not have in the first stage. So I I've said this before, there's nothing wrong when the good feeling goes away. It means you're going to be tested. It means you can grow now. God is wanting to see, what will you do, so to speak, without the good feeling? Will you keep persevering? Good. If you can, good, you are growing spiritually. But that third stage that we see in the apostles happened on Pentecost Sunday, where they not only learned to accept the cross, but because of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, they now actually rejoiced in the challenge, rejoiced in the suffering. And my good friends, you know, this isn't any easier for you than it is for me to grasp. How can we not enjoy suffering, but how can we rejoice in suffering? This is not our human nature. We look for a way out of the suffering, don't we? But this is what the gifts of the Holy Ghost did for the apostles. It lifted them up. And of course, they made themselves ready. It's not a purely passive thing where you just sit back and do nothing and God raises you through these three stages. It doesn't work that way. We have to do our part. We have to cooperate with God's grace. We have to make efforts. But do not underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost, what his gifts did for the apostles. Oh, they had already received the gifts of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, we received them when we were first baptized. If you are in the state of grace, you have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But you see, the sacrament of confirmation is a special increase in those gifts. The coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost was a special increase of those gifts to the apostles, and now they were stronger than before. Every one of the apostles would go to torture and death, would be a martyr for Christ's sake, and they would lead a procession of millions of Catholics through the centuries who, when they were given that choice, with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, triumphed over torture and death, and were faithful to Christ till the end. They couldn't have done it on their own. Nobody could. Nobody can rely on his own character and virtue alone to face such great challenges. But this is the gifts of God. This is the grace of God in action, enabling us to do things we could never do on our own. So you see, my dear brethren, how much we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need to grow in our devotion to the Holy Ghost. Pray for an increase in those gifts. And as St. Louis de Montfort tells us, the more devotion you have to Mary, her spouse, so to speak, the Holy Ghost will fly all the more to your soul to give it grace and gifts. So there's a very sure way to increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And yes, they will transform you. They will help you to rise, again, through these three stages that I just reviewed with you. There's something else I wanted to speak of in regards to the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing this second theme for today, but we need the Holy Ghost so much in the battle against impurity. Now, in the last couple of Sundays, I've been talking about the importance of purity and chastity for marriage. And of course, for those that are not in the married state, I've been talking about hedges. Because without hedges, damage is done. And we can say, I don't want to bother with hedges. Well, then you have to pay a terrible price for not having those hedges there. And when we look at the flood of impurity today, the absolute destruction of the holiness of marriage, the sins of the flesh that are committing, it gets worse every year. When we see this, we feel a hopelessness, like, how can this tide be reversed? There is a way. It's the gifts and the grace of the Holy Ghost, if people will only make use of them. He is the Spirit of purity. He's the pure Spirit. He did not become incarnate for the same, neither, of course, did the Father. The Son became incarnate. So there's that Spirit, pure Spirit there, which we need to inspire us to a greater virtue of purity and chastity. And as I said, it's hopeless without the gifts and the grace of the Holy Ghost. We will fail. It is a veritable flood of iniquity flowing in the world today. The main reason why people lose their souls. I want to talk about a hedge today that, of course, we have to exert efforts to put around ourselves. Put it around your marriage, if you're married, if you're single. Obviously, those that are in the religious, the priestly state, they have to put this hedge as well. And that hedge is, my dear brethren, avoiding occasions of sin. Or to put it more technically, avoiding the near occasion of sin. How many sins would be prevented if people simply wouldn't put themselves in danger of sinning? And yet, occasions of sin are the way of the world. It's expected to put oneself in the occasion of sin. And my dear brethren, when that hedge is demolished, it's no wonder that sin happens. We are not obliged, of course, to avoid the remote occasion of sin. Life wouldn't even be practical anymore, where you have to stay, you know, hidden and, you know, in a corner somewhere because something might come up that's an occasion of sin. The church teaches us wisely enough. We're not obliged to avoid that. We have to live. We have to move. We have to support ourselves. We have to be in society. But what the church is very clear on is avoiding the proximate occasion of sin. That's what we must avoid. And yes, to put ourselves knowingly in the proximate occasion of sin is to commit the sin itself. We know we have cut down that hedge, and we are already guilty of the sins that follow. It's not God's fault anymore. It is our own, plain and simple. Jesus set a very high standard in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, if a man looks at a woman, just looks, not does, looks. If he looks at her with lust, he is committing the mortal sin of adultery in his heart. That's the standard set by God. And our Lord was only articulating what's already there in the Ten Commandments. And my dear brethren, the occasions of sin abound. Television. Parents, is the television lowering, destroying, harming your children's morals? There are going to be occasions of sin that come up. radio, songs. Many of them are occasions of sin. The internet, movies. And no, you can't trust the PG-13 label. Why can't you? Because it's not Catholics that are making that determination. It's people who think occasions of sin are fine, and they tell you it's fine to look at this movie. That's not a guarantee. Do you have the fortitude to walk out of something that becomes an occasion of sin? You have to. Get up and leave. Isn't your purity more important? Of course it is. But do your homework ahead of time. Don't even put yourself where you shouldn't be. You know, it sounds like an irony. And it is, I suppose, but we win the battle against purity by fleeing the battle. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's nothing but the truth. We win every time we remove ourselves from the near occasion of sin. Don't we promise Jesus that when we go to confession? We have to promise, if we're even going to make a valid confession, to give up the sin and the occasion of sin. Our Lord was very dramatic when he talked about this. And he didn't mean to be taken literally, but he was getting a point across. He says, if your eye is a scandal to you, pluck it out. If your hand is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off. Not to be taken literally, but he is using hyperbole very effectively to get across the point. Don't put yourself in the occasion of sin. And he says, better to go into heaven blind or maimed than to go into the place of eternal punishment with all of your members. So, especially during the summer, we're going to have to take more precautions. These are hedges. We need them. I need them. You need them. Why? Not because we're prudes, but because we have something sacred to uphold and to protect. Nothing less than, among other things, the integrity, the holiness of marriage, our own purity, our own chastity. And my dear brethren, please try to think of it this way. Chastity is a liberating thing. I know that's one of the paradoxes of our faith. You gain more freedom by growing in chastity. If you build that hedge around it, you will grow and experience more and more true love. Don't look at the ways of the world. Look at the Bible. Look at Holy Scripture. Look at the teachings of Christ. And when you feel your weakness and your fear, and you know what? I feel it too. I feel fear. I feel weakness. But that's when my prayer life is my strength more than ever. St. Paul even says as an epistle to Romans, when I am weak, then I am strong. Think about that. Sounds like this is a sermon of paradoxes. There's one of those paradoxes of St. Paul. When I am weak, then I am strong. What's St. Paul telling us? When we're weak, we know we have to reach out. We know we have to take extra precautions. It's when we're feeling strong that we're in danger. Does not pride come before the fall? I'm strong enough to put myself into this occasion of sin. We fall. Let us count on the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the grace of the Holy Ghost. it is all-powerful. And even though, as I said, and you read what, for example, the popes of the early 20th century were saying, Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XII, even then they were talking about the flood of iniquity going on. What would they say today? But even it's greater than it was then. Don't we know this? God's grace is greater than any problem we could ever have, any temptation. We just have to work towards it. We have to pray for it and make ourselves receptive to God's grace. So let the Holy Ghost strengthen you, comfort you, console you, guide you. The Spirit of love itself, the infinite love between the Father and the Son, let him do his work in you. Let us grow in our devotion to God, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.